Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA Meeting on Air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship in who'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Rachel, would you like to share?
Thanks, Steve. Hi, my name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Lovely to be here with you all at this very small meeting. I never expected to end up in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's certainly not something that was one of my life aims. I had a very normal, loving, supportive childhood, a good education. I think big things were expected of me in life. I expected big things of myself and had high standards, I think. And also a lot of anxiety and worry and insecurity. And at a fairly early age, I discovered that alcohol took all of that away. It made me feel complete, whole, relaxed, able to communicate better, just generally better about myself. And I knew from quite young that the way I felt about alcohol was a bit different to the way my friends did. I knew that alcoholism ran in my family, and so I had some knowledge, prior knowledge about Alcoholics Anonymous, which perhaps did me a bit of a disservice in the end, because it made me very resistant to the idea that I may have to accept that I was one, and that being one would mean abstinence, and that was not something I was very keen on. I definitely kept my massive love for alcohol on the down low. I didn't let it show in front of other people. I always wanted more than other people around me, so I just tended to make sure that I had an extra supply, and I did that from a fairly young age too. I tried really hard to make sure I never got too drunk with people. I did that on my own, and even though I had I've had a loving partner, supportive family, generally good life experiences, for some reason I've always wanted alcohol to be there somewhere as my extra best friend. And the need for it just gradually grew. I guess they call it cunning, baffling and powerful, as well as insidious, because it gradually took over my life, that the little extra bit I always had for myself became a lot. And over a period of a couple of years when I lived alone, somewhere rather isolated, it really took over. And I drank all day. I would shake if I didn't have a supply of alcohol available to me. I drank first thing in the morning, till the end of the night, till I fell asleep or passed out. I managed to somehow keep up the appearance that I was still functioning, but it ended up taking all of my energy. And slowly I began to not work, to withdraw from people, to stop engaging with life all the time, believing that I could stop tomorrow, that any time if I just decided to, that I had the willpower and the control to simply apply that to my drinking and just yeah, get it under control. And that delusion just stayed with me for so long. Many cracks started to show in my life. People started to notice. I became paranoid that everybody knew, when I found out later that not very many people really knew at all, only those closest to me. And it took being really forced into a corner to actually start to face my alcoholism. I continued to think that I could somehow become a normal drinker, which I know now that no alcoholic ever can. I entered a recovery program that was a stepping stone, I see now, really, to I spent a long time beginning to understand what alcoholism was for me. And it wasn't until I spent a decent amount of time in Alcoholics Anonymous that I suddenly just clicked to the program and it worked for me. I feel that the desire to drink has been fully lifted from me as a result of having done the 12 steps. My life has changed in every single way. My thinking has changed. My attitude to day-to-day life is completely different, and it's not that I expected that amount of change. I thought I would just stop drinking and my life would go back to just, well, being what it was always meant to be. But I've learned that I actually needed to change my whole attitude. That's not something that a lot of alcoholics really want to do. I think there is a joke about how many alcoholics does it take to change a light bulb, and the answer is change. What's change? I love my life now. I have wonderful friends in AA. My relationships with my family and other friends has improved enormously. I like myself again. I have an inner calm that is just there for me anytime I want to access it. The spiritual side of the program, which pretty much is the whole program, is certainly something I was scared of and very rejecting of initially. But as I began to understand that it's the alcoholism lies in my spirituality. It's something in my soul. It's a soul sickness. It's a spiritual malady. It's something that can't be, I can't talk myself out of. I can't be encouraged or supported out of. It's something that has to change right deep down in my soul. And AA didn't tell me what kind of religious or theological approach to take. It just told me I had to take some kind of soul searching. And having done that and achieved it through doing the 12 steps, my soul is free. I feel complete and ready to face the next part of my life. It's not where I expected to be. It's not the life I thought I was going to have. But in many ways, I'm actually grateful to this disease, because it's given me a new way of looking at things. And it's something that is, yeah, mind-blowingly awesome. I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Rachel. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and this morning we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Christina. Do you like to share?
Hi, thanks. My name is Christina and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Christina. Hi.
I think it's good to be able to finally say that, and it, you know, with conviction. That I have a problem with addiction. I have a problem with alcohol. I was in a meeting this week, and the title of the chapter was "It Could Have Been Worse," and that really struck me because my life could have been so far more worse had the AA program not changed me. I am a bit of a late bloomer when it comes to alcohol. I arrived in New Zealand in 2004 and just discovered the amazing power of alcohol and its effect on me. You know, it was the best sedative. In fact, I looked at my life and I thought, oh my goodness, how could I not have known anything about this for so many years? I find myself in a very stressful job, and I discovered the solution, and that was alcohol. At the end of the day, I felt that I deserved, you know, a drink or two. I grew up in an alcoholic home. I was one of those children who grew, believe it or not, who actually grew up in the rooms, really. My dad was a recovering alcoholic for 30 or more years. Mom was in AA, in Al-Anon, and they've done a lot of work, so I knew what there was to know about the rooms. But it, you know, you, one is so far removed as a child from that. And I found, initially I found AA quite strange. You know, in fact, I thought, oh, I had an issue with the anonymous, but how could people be anonymous? It just felt so much for me, like my parents were involved in a kind of a sect. Lo and behold, I arrive in New Zealand and I find the answer to all my problems was in actual fact in the AA rooms. And so I started drinking around 2004, 2005, and I was an isolated binge drinker. You know, the kind of job where you couldn't be seen to be drinking. You know, that would definitely have affected my reputation. And so I was one of those alcoholics who hid. You know, who kind of went to the bottle store, but did so in hiding. And the progression was slow. As someone said earlier, you know, this disease is cunning, it is baffling, and it is sly. And I think the slyness is what definitely got to me. I'm always thankful for the fact that I did have some knowledge of Alcoholics Anonymous because of my parents. I did have a kind of backdrop to fall back on. And I say that because I started to see symptoms of my behavior that I had seen in my dad. Mm-hmm. And what they were was, for example, I started to hide. I didn't want people to know I was drinking. And I remember a family member making a comment and saying to me, but you don't drink properly, you know. I was starting to drink in the afternoon, and I was starting to drink more and more. And one glass wasn't enough, and I thought, nah, two glasses and so forth. And then I noticed I needed to have a stock at home, just in case the wine bottle was maybe finished, I might need. And those were some of the things that I noticed about my drinking that wasn't the norm. You know, it wasn't kind of a normal, healthy way of drinking. And of course, the one big thing that will always stand out for me when I just reflect on my drinking patterns was the fact that I drank to get to sleep. You know, it was the most amazing sedative. You didn't need to have a script for it. You could just drink as much as you want to, and you could fall asleep. And I had an intervention around about 2010, and that's when I came into the rooms. And I picked up my AA banner, and I started trudging along. And it's been wonderful. It has been just a transformative aspect of my life. In addition to being an alcoholic, I probably have to add that I'm a Christian alcoholic. I've been involved in the church, and I've had a wonderful relationship with God for many, many years. And the irony is that it was probably in these rooms that I experienced the dimension of God, which was far more real, which is far more even potent. You know, it's being in the AA rooms has actually enhanced my relationship with the God of my understanding, which is the Christian God. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful for me to experience not only growth in my own life, but to also connect with people in a far, far more real way. And so, I sometimes laugh about it because I think my understanding of God is that he would use something like this kind of program, because I've always come to know the God of my understanding as a kind of God who does the unexpected. And there was no way that I wanted to be in an AA program. But then the paradox is that you're in an AA program and your life has changed, and you sit here 8 years or 7.5 years down the line and you think, wow, what has happened to me? I've been transformed in AA of all places. So it's been a wonderful journey. I do service. I'm not going to say that I'm one of those eager beaver kind of AAs. You know, I have to be dragged along at times. My sponsor has done, you know, she's the one that said to me, Christina, it's time for you to sponsor right now. Stop being lazy. And I found myself a sponsor. And it's just been wonderful to connect with another human being and actually see God transforming me, transforming the other person, and just having a kind of miraculous connection through that, and just seeing the miracle of how this program transforms, change, uproot, you know, cleanse, and brings new life to people, that I can definitely say is true, is that it is a design for loving that does work. And that good old saying that we have to do at the end of every meeting is it works if you work at it. And so, yeah, I've been working at it, and I've been doing, well, my version of the best I can. The best I can, one day at a time. And I'll finish it there. Thanks.
Right. Thanks, Christina. The members this morning have mentioned about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works, and I'll just read that for you now. The chapter says how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful, and without help it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing, and we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we're powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress, and we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic and the chapter to the agnostic and the personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. That A, that we were alcoholics and could not manage our own lives. That B, probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. Now that was a reading out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous under the chapter How It Works. Now you're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Kim. Would you like to share?
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kim.
I'm reasonably new to the fellowship. I had my last drink on Labor Day 2017. And it wasn't really an epic session. I tasted some beer and declared that that was the last drink I was going to have. My whole adult life has been framed by alcohol. From the age of 15 to 48, anytime I was socializing, alcohol was there. Alcohol was the way that I made friends. It was the way that I maintained friendships. It was the way that I met partners. It was the way that I slept with partners. You know, really, alcohol defined the way that my adult life has run. And that's been a lot of fun, but it's also left a lot of wreckage in its background. Not being able to maintain a relationship for any length of time, having three children to three different mothers, and wanting to be a good father, but as long as it didn't impact on who I thought I was and the kind of life that I wanted to lead. So it was pretty much a fit in, kids, you're along for the ride, which has had its own negative effects. I'm the parent of a young adult who's in active addiction, and I have to really own that and think about how I exposed her to things that I don't now consider that are in any way appropriate or what I would want to see my younger children exposed to. And I'm really proud of the fact that my 7-year-old, who's waiting for me to finish up today, has very much been sheltered from that and considers the idea that anyone would be drinking around him as being weird, because that certainly wasn't the case with my first child. I'm really, really happy to be in the rooms. I really value the fellowship, and I really feel like the program itself was something that I didn't even know that I needed, but as soon as I found it, it resonated so strongly that it's felt very comfortable and very inspiring to me since when I first walked into my first meeting. And I didn't come in on my knees. I walked in the door, so I feel very blessed that although I was clearly on a slide downwards, I hadn't got to the point where I'd actually lost everything or had to say, well, this is rock bottom. So I think I was spared. I don't think that I'm special or that it makes me different than any other alcoholic. I own my alcoholism. It's real and it's authentic. What actually brought me into the rooms was the love for my partner and the love for our youngest child, who's 26 months and has special needs. And when you realize that you're going to be a parent for the rest of your life to somebody who's going to need you and need you to be in full control and totally capable at all times, it really makes you look back at your life and take an inventory. And for me, I felt like anything that was in any way compromising my ability to parent and to be the rock for my family had to go, and alcohol was clearly that. And my partner actually made the decision first, and it was her sharing the message that really resonated with me, her actually telling me what she was learning and seeing how her life was changed. I wanted that too, and I'm proud to say that I actually feel like I'm on board. Our relationship has become so much stronger and more authentic, and the way that I deal with the rest of my life has actually started to change for the better. I kind of always felt like I was an outsider. I always felt like the world wasn't fair and that I was special, and I know that in the rooms a lot of people have shared exactly those thoughts. Well, really, I think that that was a mix of anxiety, ego, and a sense that life wasn't working for me. And through the program and through working the steps and through doing those rigorous inventories of how we feel and how we're operating in the world, I actually now feel a lot more connected. And I feel that I'm a much more valuable member of society. I feel like I've become more of a mentor and a leader in my workplace. And I'm really proud to say that when things come up that would normally trigger me and make me behave in a way that in time I wouldn't be proud of, I've actually got the skills now to actually suck it up, to look at all sides of the equation and to act based on my real mind rather than my lizard brain, or, you know, sort of like whatever you would call it when you're acting reactively and you know, things are all about you. Now, the all about you point, I think, you know, what I'm really seeing is that I was incredibly ego-driven before I came into the rooms, and that was part of my alcoholism. You know, when you're drinking, you're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about how you're going to be perceived. You're thinking about how you're going to get what you want. You're thinking about, you know, sort of your own heroics. And one of the great things about the program is that it strips all that away, and it actually sort of makes you think about the dumb things you've done, the poor ways that you've behaved, the way that how you might visualize people have wronged you actually often is just your weird perception. And once again, it's that lizard brain coming into play. So what I would say is, even though I'm a relative newcomer to the program, that I really value it. It works. And as they say, get in there, keep on coming back, do meetings, do service, get a good sponsor, and keep on with the steps. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we've had members of our fellowship in, and they've been sharing little bits about their journey and their experience and their strength and their hope of how they stay sober through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, if you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. Or you can log on to aa.org.nz, and on the drop-down box under meetings list is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area. We have about 140 a week. It will also give you a list of meetings right throughout the country as well. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.